Okay, because that video was awesome. And if failing means you have lived, then I have lived, right? I remember going to church camp. It was my senior year of high school. And I was the only kid in my youth group that went to a different high school. So I was going to go to church camp and I was going to make my mark. People were going to know that Jamie Ward was there. And I was going to get to know as many people as possible. And I tell you, the week just didn't go like that. I remember the last day just standing there wondering what happened. It's a horrible week. I don't think anybody liked me. You know, and I'm standing there and I'm, of course, it's 1988. You know, so I've got on my parachute pants. And, mind you, they were 5 years out, but I finally got a pair. I had on my sleeveless white half shirt, you know, that said George Michael rocks. And of course the headband, don't forget the headband. I had the headband on and I probably took 12 bottles of Moose. Does everybody remember Moose? Moose, everybody know what I'm talking about? So I had Moose and I had, my hair was so curly. Of course it was around the headband and the hair was all curly coming way down, slick on the side, had a little mustache, you know, and of course I took the essential, the thing I have to have, and that was Polo by Ralph Lauren. Remember the green bottle? And people, their eyes watered when I walked by, right? Because I wanted to know I had it on. So, you're probably, you know, in as much mystery as I am as to what happened that week. Because I know, I remember one time this girl broke up with me. And my mom, and this was, I guess, the low point of my life. And I was devastated because she was the girl I was going to marry. You know, we'd met in sixth grade. It was seventh grade. It'd been a good year, you know. And I just remember crying in my room thinking, that's it. Life is over. And I just remember my mom came in to encourage me. And she does, you know, she didn't realize it, that it was an incredible low point. But I realized that she grabbed my shoulders and just kind of shook them. She said, you are handsome. She didn't just say it once, you know, you're handsome. And it was a low point. You know why? Because I attached everything that was any value to my life to all those external things. I mean, how many of us still, we do that? I mean, I still do that. I want to know that in some kind of way my life is significant. It has values. That's why I like videos like this, right? Because I think of all my failures, and I think, though, they're all going to turn one day. I'm just not there yet, right? How old was Grant? 38, right? I'm 38, so, I mean, something's going to happen soon. I'm going to be out of here, people. You enjoy this tonight, because I'm, you know, because I want to know my life has some kind of significance and some kind of value. And so I remember being a young single guy, and that value always was related to some girl. And I felt good about me as long as I had somebody. And they were there. And I knew what was going to happen. They were eventually going to stop calling. Say it was them and not me. Anybody heard that one? That's code for it's you. All right. And you've heard all my sports stories. Bless. I know you leave here saying bless his heart, you know, but trying to find some significance and some value in some kind of a way. And, you know, I thought last week was a tough message because if you remember the message last week, it was this: God's will is going to come to fruition. He'll use you if you're willing and obedient. And if you're not, he'll use somebody else. How encouraging was that? I really honestly didn't think anybody would be here tonight after that, you know. But tonight may be worse. It may be worse that anything that I had tried to attach to my life to give me some kind of significance and value, it's always a temporary thing. I mean, it might work for a while. You remember when you meet that person, don't you? How many of you are single? Raise your hand. All right, now the rest of you, keep your hands up. The rest of you are single. Take a look around. All right. You know, and I remember in that season of my life that dating was so much, it wasn't about that other person. It was about me because I wanted to feel good about me. Well, The truth of Scripture is this, and this is why Christianity is so difficult for a lot of people. It is so difficult because Christianity says that if it's up to you, you have no hope. You have no hope. If it's up to you and you alone, you have no hope. Now, how do you get excited about that on a Wednesday night? Some of you are thinking, come on, please. I've worked all day. I've come here tonight, you know. The Bible says that your life only has significance and value as your life is in the hands of God. They said, anybody heard of Ted Williams, baseball player? Raise your hand. I just want to know how relevant this is. So, you know, they say Ted Williams maybe arguably was the greatest hitter in baseball ever. And that may be. They didn't see me in Little League, so, you know, that may be that it was Ted Williams. But they said that when Ted Williams had a bat in his hand, it wasn't a bat. It became part of his body. And that's how good he was with that bat, you know? And if you've ever watched these, I mean, did you know immediately it was going to be Michael Jordan when they said he was cut from the basketball team? You know? And so those stories are unbelievable. And you watch that. I mean, you watch these guys and these gals on TV. And, you know, and I get a bat in my hand. I took my youth group to the batting cages when I was a youth pastor. And we go to these batting cages, and they're all on the other side of the park doing something. So I go to the batting cages, and they've got the fastest you can have the machine pitch to you is 80 miles an hour. All right? Now, obviously, they can throw in the 90s in the majors, but probably your average pitch in the major leagues is going to be in the low to mid-80s, probably your average pitch. If you disagree with that and know more than I do, let's assume that I'm right. And so I get in the batting cage and put it on 80 miles an hour. Right. Of course, first I did 60, then I did 70. On 70, I made some contact. I thought 80 miles an hour. So, man, I put my money in. I put it on 80 miles an hour, and I stand there, and it was like, you know, it was just crazy. Well, now here's a part of the story that I left out, but I'm going to tell you because it goes great with tonight. The first time I put it on 80, that ball came in there, and I was cranking it. Crack, crack. So I go get the youth group to come over. Say, I want you guys to watch this. Somebody make sure it's on 80 miles an hour. You know, I already knew it was because I just was there, right? Well, I don't know what happened. There was some kind of mechanical malfunction with the machine. And apparently it was pitching about 50 miles an hour. But when the youth group was gathered around me, it started coming 80. Whew. Hey, Pastor Jamie, man, what's going on? And I'm like, shut up. You got to concentrate, you know. Why? Because I want my life to have some kind of significance, some kind of value. So here's where we left off last week. We know that God's will is going to come to fruition. And I'm going to tell you, I said last week it was a tough message, but it's incredibly good news because God has a plan for each of our lives, all right? And God has a will that is beyond us. Does everybody understand that? When I say that God has a plan for your life, I want you to know that it's directly as it relates to His good will and His purposes. And the one thing, as followers of Jesus, if you're here tonight and you're a follower of Jesus, you've been saved, I want you to know, you have the option of whether or not you're going to obey Jesus and do what He says. I mean, you have that option. God has a will and a purpose that goes beyond our lives, but He's willing to use us. And where we left off last week was what God desires to come to pass will come to pass. God is going to work in such a way that what He wills is going to happen. And He's willing to use us in the process, but His will is beyond us. And if we're disobedient, He'll use somebody else. And that was tough last week, but it's good news. We're going to see how especially it's good news tonight. Well, what's transpired is we know that they're spending 40 years in the wilderness. And we come to the end of that 40 years and Moses dies. The leader dies. And God raises up this guy named Joshua. And God has anointed him to be the new leader of the Israelites. He was Moses' aide. We could have tacked on a part of the video that had Joshua. I mean, here's Joshua's life. Great-grandfather. Slave. Grandfather, slave. Father, slave. Joshua, for the majority of his life, slave. No ambitions, no hope. Now, they'd sit around and they'd tell the stories. They'd tell the stories of God's promises, that God has promised Abram that he's going to make him into an incredible nation. He's going to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. They told those stories. You know that. I mean, they're trying to encourage their children in some kind of way. But basically, while they're there in Egypt, there is no ambition. You're not going to go anywhere. You're going to be a slave for the rest of your life, like your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather. This is your life. And they tell the stories that maybe there'd be some kind of hope to come out of those stories. Well, Joshua is especially encouraged because of the tribe that he comes from. God has promised incredible things out of that tribe. And you just wonder, was there ever a day that Joshua just started hanging on to this hope? You know what? God's going to do it, and it's going to be in this generation. And I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to be obedient. Because here's what a father would tell his son if you were an Israelite and you lived in Egypt during this time. Work hard. Don't look the taskmaster in the eye. Don't look in his eyes, because that'll make him mad. You work as hard as you can. You be where you're supposed to be. And that's the best that a kid could hope for. And that would be the fatherly advice that he would get. But we come to the end of 40 years. It says, after the death of Moses, this is Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aid, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend, and then he tells, he gives him these boundaries. But isn't it a powerful thing that he'd say to Joshua, every place your foot touches will be yours. What an incredible thing. How far he had come. Now, obviously, from the video, I want you to know Joshua didn't come that far because he was so gifted and he was so talented and he had a special and unique ability. And he just had a likability and everybody liked him. I'm going to tell you that you cannot credit those things to Joshua becoming the leader of the Israelites. I want to share a few things with you tonight. First of all, God makes leaders. Has everybody got that? God makes leaders. God does that. God raises leaders up. Yeah, I am convinced that if you met Joshua, now I'm going to say this, you may take issue with this. If you met Joshua, I don't know that you would be super impressed or blown away by him. Because what we see from Genesis to Revelation is God taking the ordinary and making it extraordinary. God does that. And we see this in the life of Joshua, who looked like he had no hope at all. There was no future, no life, except that God made a promise and God raises Joshua up. Now, here's what he says, and this is going to be the focal point of the message tonight. In verse 6, Joshua 1, he says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then, everybody with me? Just asking. Everybody with me? Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous, Joshua. And if you look at that command that's given to be strong and courageous, what you find in the opposite of that is the failings of the generation before him. Be strong and courageous. But the generation before was not strong and courageous. They doubted that God could do what God said he would do. So there was no strength. There was no courage. What did they say about the people in the land, right, when the spies went? What did they say? They're giants. They're huge. They'll kill us. And so I find it very interesting that what God says to Joshua is to be strong and courageous. But he ties it specifically to something that we can't miss here tonight. And honestly, it's something we can't miss, but it's something that a lot of us don't want to hear. He ties this strength and this courage intricately with God's word. Did you notice that? Be strong and courageous. He says, be strong and very courageous. But what is the main point? What is the hope that he's given him so that he can be strong and courageous? He's saying, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. I'm going to tell you, people ask me a lot, and probably all the pastors here, we get asked this a lot by folks say, what is the key to the Christian life? What's the key to the Christian life? I mean, what's the one thing that I need to know about the Christian life? Well, the one thing you need to know about the Christian life is there's more than one thing you need to know about the Christian life. That's the problem. Most people that call themselves followers of Jesus know one thing, and that's about it. But what we have here, God is telling Joshua, here's, I want you to be consumed with the law. And when he's talking about the law, he's talking about God's word. And he's saying, you can be strong and courageous if you tether yourself to my word, to the things I've said, to the commands that I've given. If you will be obedient, if you will listen to what I say, if you'll follow what I say, he says, you'll be very successful. You will prosper. Now, those are words that are tricky in our culture today, because most people associate prosperity with money, right? And a lot of people are preaching that. You follow Jesus and there'll be great prosperity. And I just, you know, I confronted a guy one time and I said, so do you just think I'm not faithful? He said, what do you mean? What do you mean, Pastor? I said, do you think I'm not faithful? He said, no, I think you're faithful. I said, show me the money, right? Because I'm being faithful. Show me the money. You see, there's a greater thing. Know this about God. He does give good things. And sometimes does God prosper people with money, with wealth? Absolutely. Sometimes. You know, because what I really want to do sometimes is just say, all right, stand up if God just gave you a bunch of money. Yeah. God gives good gifts to his children. The Bible's clear about that. He gives those gifts. And those gifts are in a lot of different kind of ways. But the greatest gift that God gives to every believer is the gift of himself. It's the gift of himself. Obviously, what's coming for the Israelites with the fulfillment of this promise is going to be some prosperity, isn't it? In a lot of different ways. They're going to have a lot of land. They're going to have a lot of cows, right? We're going to have a lot of animals, a lot of farmland, and there's going to be a lot of milk, apparently, and a lot of honey, right? Because it's a land flowing with milk and honey. I want to thank the anonymous person who left a box of ho-hos on my desk last week, and I was faithful to that box of ho-hos. And a land flowing with milk and honey. God gives good gifts to his children. But the greatest gift that God gives, and notice this, the good gifts that he gives, I don't get all the good gifts that God has to offer. I don't get all of them, but God gives me some of them, okay? But what every one of us get is the greatest gift that he gives is the gift of himself. And I think a struggle in America is I don't know that we believe that. That the greatest gift that God has is the gift of himself. Now I'm going to tell you, when I went to Romania, I went 3 years in a row to Romania. When you go to Romania, if you ask those people what's the greatest gift that God gives, they're going to tell you without thought the greatest gift God gives is a gift of himself. Because they're depending on him every day just to have three meals. And they consider that a good gift. I don't know that many of us, if any of us in here tonight, would consider a meal that we had a gift from God. Why? Because, man, that's just what we do. I mean, I get up in the morning, I have breakfast. An hour later, I have second breakfast, right? And then I have a, you know, mid-morning snack. Then I have lunch. Then I have a box of ho-hos that somebody left on the desk, right? And then I have, you know, the pre-dinner deal. And then I have dinner. And then I have the evening snack. And I start on breakfast around midnight, right? So you think I'm thankful for a meal? I should be. Do you see what I'm saying though? And so you go to some of these places outside of America And people are so grateful and thankful for the greatest gift that God gives, and the gift of Himself. Because if you don't have Him, those gifts aren't going to do you a whole lot of good when eternity comes. What we have here, he's given Joshua specific commands. We're seeing a follow through on what happened last week. He's telling Joshua, here's what I'm going to do. And he's very specific. God has the role in this. Does everybody understand that? Because I think all of us today, if I gave a quiz, if I gave all of you a piece of paper and just said, was Joshua a great man? I'm guessing, 99% are going to come in saying, yes, he was a great man. But I want you to understand his humble beginnings. I want you to understand the adversity that was in his life. I want you to understand that really, if I set Joshua next to any of us in here, he might not come off as extraordinary. He might just come off as ordinary. I want you to know that. Why? It's not that I want to paint a bad picture of Joshua. But I want to paint the appropriate picture of what's happening right here in Joshua. And what you get in Joshua is not that Joshua was a great man, but what you get out of Joshua is that God is a great God. I thought there'd be more response to that. That was like the crescendo of the entire message. And you sat there and you missed it. So let me try again. The point... Isn't this horrible? Forget it. All right. You understand, right? So God, come on now. Because Joshua was great because God was great. And if there wasn't God, then Joshua, there we go. That was great. Honestly, it just sounds so much better on the internet when you clap and stuff and say, woo. All right. Good. Because we can edit all that in. It's horrible. I have so much ADD tonight. It just hits me at different moments. And tonight, I know I've got to be careful because I can go a long way. Joshua's great because God is great. And you know where I find encouragement in that? Because in every part of my life where I've tried to step out and be great, I wasn't. I wasn't. I'll tell you that. Now, I can tell you some sports stories, right? I've got a couple stories that I don't even know if they're even true anymore. Right? Because I've embellished them for so long. But every place I've stepped out to try to be great, I wasn't great. And I think if we're honest and you look into the deep recesses of your life and you look back down that long road, God is great. And the point of this story, from the time we began the story, when God made the promise to Abram, do you realize God didn't make the promise to Abram because Abram was great? God is great. God is great. And that's the point. And so the hope that we have in our lives is because God is great. But I don't know how many of us really embrace that and really hang on to that. Because he's telling Joshua, he said, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Why would it be important to obey all the law that God had given to Moses and Moses had given to the people? Why would it be important? Because so many times when I read the Bible, I see it just as some rules that I've got to follow. And I see it as if I follow the rules, I am good or great, whatever, right? And if I don't, I'm bad, very bad, right? And I just see him as that. But notice what he says here. Do not depart from the law, from the word of God. Listen to that. And I feel like tonight, this is such an elementary sermon that I am still struggling to grasp hold of. That these are God's words, and my following God's word is what? When I'm following God's word, it's honoring the nature and the character of God. Because I can tell you tonight that God is great, but what would my life tell you? You could tell me tonight that God is great, but what would your life say about that? You see what I'm saying? And so here we have Joshua, and God has raised him up to be a leader, not because Joshua is great, but because God is great. And God is going to use Joshua. I mean, this is a phenomenal plan. And you look at the ordinary or maybe even under average life of Joshua, Nobody would have picked him out as a kid. Nobody would have thought anything would have happened in his life. But God made a promise, and God chose to fulfill that promise. And he raised Joshua up as a leader who we're finally going to get to see this promise come to fruition. We're finally going to see here in a couple weeks, Joshua enter the promised land with the Israelites. And that particular promise is fulfilled. We're going to see that. That's what we're heading into. But I think what God is showing us tonight in Joshua is that this didn't happen because of Joshua. And I don't know why there seems to be such an emphasis on this. I think sometimes when you're a preacher, your temptation is to preach your weakness and to preach what you struggle with. So maybe this is for me, maybe it's not for any of you. That God is great. And he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to live the rest of my life for him. He is worthy. God is great. Do not depart from it. Do not go to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Meditate on it. Know God's word. So many times the questions I have, the answers are right here. And I think sometimes when I hear people say that, sometimes I think it's a cop out, right? The Bible has all the answers. And I hear that, I'm like, yeah, I know we're supposed to say that, but I mean, I really need an answer, right? And yet I do believe that the Bible has all the answers. And the reason I don't have all the answers is because I haven't meditated on God's word. Now, listen, if we're going to call ourselves followers of Jesus, then we better be about following him. And if we're going to say that we know Jesus, we better be about knowing Jesus and understanding his word and understand. You want to know what God's purpose, God's will is for your life? Go to God's word. And what you're going to find is from Genesis to Revelation, God is revealing his character. He's revealing the nature of his plan, of his will. And he's calling us to be a part of what he is doing. And he's going to raise people up. And this is the most exciting part of preaching to me, is that he is willing to raise people up. He raised Joshua up because he's God. Do you understand that? I mean, do you really understand that? Remember the video? What if we made a video and we used our stories? And maybe in that video, rather than showing our vocational failures, what if we had a video with our moral failures? Does anybody here ever have a moral failure? The rest of you not raising your hand tonight is just another of your moral failure. And what if we showed that video tonight? I mean, could you imagine that? Bam, Robert Pinson's on the screen. Here's what he's done. Right? And we'd all be like, oh, he's so sick. Right? And then Butch on the screen. And we're all thinking, he's disgusting. We'd whisper it because we wouldn't want you to hear it. Because afterward we'd say, well, bless your heart. Right? And then I'd come on the video and you all be like, oh, yeah, we already knew that. Right? But can you imagine that? And here's why this message is so powerful, I think. Because if we had the video of Joshua's life, none of us would have been like, oh, wow, now he's the guy. You know, I'm all excited. My son has started tackle football, right? He's a 69-pound sixth grader, right? There are fourth graders on his team that weigh over 100 pounds. And you know, you haven't seen a kid who so desires to be a linebacker in his life. His ankles are that big. He has to wear shoes in the shower so he doesn't fall down the drain, right? I mean, the kid is little and he can't wait. He's going to be a linebacker. He said, I can't wait to hit somebody, Dad. And I'm just praying, Lord Jesus. Help me, you know, because you look at you. That's when you look at Joshua, that's what you saw. And I don't know, because let's really be honest, because I don't know that you are spending a lot of time looking at each other thinking, well, they're nothing. But I think a lot of us spend a lot of time in front of the mirror saying, how could God do anything with my life? If we saw the video, we might all agree with you, right? If we saw your video, we might all agree with you. Really, how is God going to do anything with that? But that's what this book is filled with. God taking, though the least desirable, the least capable, God constantly using people like that in Scripture and raising them up. Do you know why? You know why God raised up Joshua and didn't just convert Pharaoh's son? Well, for a couple of reasons he didn't convert Pharaoh's son. What's one of them? Because he's dead, right? But I mean, wouldn't that be the story? Pharaoh's son converts, and he's going to lead the Israelites. And wouldn't that be an awesome story? And wouldn't we think, wow, Pharaoh's son, he just left his family. He just cut them all off and said he's going to lead the Israelites, right? And yeah, you know, Moses grew up in Pharaoh's court, but he wasn't really one of his family, right? But that's what God does. He didn't convert Pharaoh's son. Because if Pharaoh's son converted and let him out, you know what everybody would have said? Praise Pharaoh's son. He's so capable. He's so educated. He has so much talent and so much ability. It is no wonder that he was the guy. But God uses Joshua. God uses Joshua. And at the end of that story, people talk about what all happened. And I imagine there were some conversations like this. Well, so where's Joshua? I want to meet this Joshua, right? Because there's millions of them. And I imagine when you met Joshua, you were like, oh, you're Joshua? Okay. I thought you'd be taller. I've heard that all my life, right? But I got some shoes coming next week that I ordered. Next week, I will be taller. But God has done this from Genesis to Revelation. He has raised up people. And let me say this. Everybody look at me. I'll go on a step in case you're having trouble seeing me. Higher. Thank you. You people are awful. These people, when they thought of their lives, many of them saw their lives the way that you and I see our lives. I mean, if I run into 10 people, 9 of them think, why would God use me? And there is that 1 out of 10 who says, well, I know why God would use me. And they're the one God's not using. And Joshua, you look at his background. The Bible doesn't say he had any great leadership ability. Doesn't say that about him. Doesn't say he had a unique talent. Doesn't say he was just so much more brilliant than the rest of the Israelites. But there is one attribute that we see in Joshua's life. And this is the message tonight. When God looked at Joshua, Joshua was faithful. People ask me sometimes, what does it mean to be faithful? Tell me what that means. We hear that a lot. We throw it around a lot. We hear preachers say it all the time. Just be faithful. And a lot of people are thinking, what does that mean to be faithful? It means this. Trust nothing else except God. Trust Him. Follow Him. And Joshua was willing to basically be Moses' secretary, basically. He was willing just to stand on the side, do very important work that Moses needed done. The Bible says he was an aide to Moses. And he was willing to follow God that way. And he was faithful as that person who wasn't in the spotlight, who wasn't in the limelight. He was faithful. And God raised him up. And he gives him these instructions. Meditate on my word day and night. You know what that's code for? Know me as deeply as you can. Trust me as deeply as you can. You trust me in such a way that when you read my word and I tell you to do something, you do it. And you trust me. Trust me. No matter how crazy what I've told you sounds, right? And if Noah was here right now, he'd say that's right. No matter how crazy it sounds, you follow him. You be faithful. Joshua wasn't great. God is great. And God is willing to raise up people and to use them to change the world. How many times do I tell you that on a Wednesday night? It's very interesting. Because here's Moses. And I think even most of us have Moses a little higher than Joshua. Right? I think most of us do if we were honest. And they rebelled so many times. But you know what they told Joshua? We'll do everything you tell us to do. Because they believed that he was God's man. And they said, we won't rebel. We'll do everything that you tell us to do. You know, tonight, I want to encourage you. I wish we had 30 more minutes. But we don't. So let me encourage you just by saying this. We're going to have a time of altar. If you will remember this one thing, and you will cling to this one thing, this truth that God has given us all throughout Scripture, and that is this, that God is great. And a promise that God made Joshua, he makes us. You know what the promise he was? The promise he gave to Joshua? He didn't tell Joshua it'd be easy. He didn't tell him there'd never be difficult days. He didn't tell him he wouldn't struggle. He didn't tell him there wouldn't be adversity. He told him, I will be with you. I'll be with you, Joshua. Every step of the way, wherever that step leads, I will be with you. And so you hang on to me, Joshua. You trust me, Joshua. You listen to my words. You follow me. Be obedient, Joshua. I will be with you. And he says it to you, and he says it to me. I'll be with you. So God raises up people. And your pastoral staff, we've prayed here that God would raise people up in this congregation and use them in a phenomenal way to touch people in their companies, in their neighborhoods, in their families, that God would raise people up. And I promise you this, what we see in this book, it's full of stories of God taking ordinary people and doing extraordinary things with them. Remember I told you about Ted Williams? And they said a bat in his hand was no longer a bat, but it was a part of his body. Well, your life in your hands is just a very ordinary thing. My life in my hands is a very ordinary thing. Oh, but this is the good news. But your life in God's hands. Your life in God's hands. He can take your life and touch the world. He can use your life to change the world. If your life is in His hands. Because I'm not great. You are not great. But we have a great God. Who still uses people and still raises people up. But he's looking for a people who will be faithful. Who will be faithful to follow him. Will you pray with me? Lord, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for your promise that you will be with us. And God, I thank you that you take the ordinary and you do extraordinary things with it. Because I know the truth, Lord. I know the truth. Is that you are a great God. So tonight I pray for folks all over this room tonight. And Lord, I pray you would raise people up and you would do extraordinary things in the lives of ordinary people. Oh God, may our lives reflect your glory. May our lives testify to your greatness. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. And as you're standing, I want to remind you that Jesus came to earth as a man. He lived a perfect life without sin. He died a brutal death on the cross and his blood was shed so that we could be forgiven. And what it means to be a follower of Jesus is that we have trusted him with our lives. We've trusted him to forgive our sin. And if you haven't done that, I want to invite you to come because he's the only hope that you have. I want to invite you to come and do that. God stocks right around the corner. We're having a lot of baptism. Several of you have talked to me about baptism. You said, I know that I need to do that. And I encourage you. to come tonight and make that decision. You know what? I know Jesus has saved me. He lives in my life. And I know that I need to be obedient to Him and be baptized. So this altar is open. And if you're here tonight and you feel like me, that you're ordinary, that means the hope that we have is that God will do extraordinary things in and through our lives if we'll be faithful. This altar is open. You come.